You are listening to Two Heels and a Face Wrestling Podcast, a podcast where we believe wrestling is a buffet and there's something there for everyone. Make sure you're following us on all social media such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook under Two Heels and a Face. That's number two, Heels and a Face. Make sure you check out our website, twoheelsandaface.com.
Ever, Two Heels and a Face.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Two Heels and a Face Wrestling Podcast. On today's episode, we are doing a second run of this new format we're kind of testing out. We're doing five things in 15 minutes. If you're listening to this a couple days ago, we released one on why to watch AEW this weekend. Hopefully you're listening to this around Friday, Saturday, or maybe a couple weeks after Freelance Wrestling's latest show. And that's what we're going to talk about. The five takeaways from In Freelance We Trust, which is the return of Mustafa Ali. Chris, we were there at the show. That counts as one show that both of us showed up at the LSA together.
That's right. Just the first one of many to come.
Yes, first one of many to come, Coda.
But man, was that fun or what?
Dude, what a time. The number one reason I feel like I'll kind of gush about the nostalgia and everything. But man, it was an amazing time. We brought new friends with us. Margaret brought some coworkers. They loved it. Like, newsflash, every single person I bring to these shows loves these shows. So, like, if you're ever thinking about, like, I don't know. Like, is there a person? I don't know if there's a person out there that just doesn't enjoy fun, that I could bring them to this type of show, and not like it was like all different age groups, like people I used to work with or have worked with. Margaret's coworkers, like people I know growing up, like any sort of weird sect of like social group that I know, I feel like I could bring to the show and they would enjoy it. Like, if you hate fun, you'll hate the show. If you like fun, you'll like the show. That's all I gotta say. But it was a blast, man. Did you have fun?
I sure did. I mean, like you said, I mean, I brought people before and I've never gotten a like, oh, I'm not coming back. It's like, oh, when's the next show? Like,
when's the next one? Yeah. That's always what's said. So,
I love that. I love hearing, you know, about people going to a wrestling show, period. But we know that Freelance, it's kind of a good place to bring the first timers in. Because there's just a different atmosphere. And this is what we talk about too, right? Different promotions bring different atmospheres to the wrestling fans and a different experience. And I think Freelance is one that kind of, in a way, is a good starting point for a lot of non-wrestling fans.
It absolutely is. Our theory is proven right time and time again, honestly. Mm-hmm. Getting into the first first takeaway from In Freelance We Trust, which just took place at the LSA on Saturday, April 13th. The first takeaway is Kylie is in her new mom era. She still looks great. My wife was like, damn, Kylie looks great for just having a kid. I think I agree with that sentiment, that statement. Really hasn't lost a step. She's back and it feels like she never left almost. Would you agree?
I 100% agree. Like, she hasn't lost a step. But it also reminds, and I think we probably talked about this during the show when it was happening, or I heard you having a conversation behind me. We saw a glimpse of that psycho Kylie.
I know.
Like, I felt that, you know, like where we left off, I think at some point where she was a champ holding on to the title and being very vicious at times and kind of losing herself in the match. I think I caught a glimpse of that. I don't know if it was just, you know, a one-time thing, but we've seen this before. So something to keep an eye on where Smiley Kylie has a very vicious side and we caught a glimpse of it before and there's sprinkles of that happening now.
I think there's a ton of potential. Yeah, I agree. I think, I don't know who asked me a question. Like, someone asked me a question about like maybe Kylie, or has she ever like been heel or anything like that? And I was like, no, but there was this time where she was like really viciously, like, over attacking people, like attacking people to the point of injury almost. And I think that was kind of before, like, shit, the world went south, before, like, all the pandemic stuff. But there is a little bit of that potential where it's like, she's really, really nice, but don't push her into this area of, like, where she just might snap. So I think there's a lot of potential there for, like, a heel run. She's new. She's back. She's new. What Kylie does works, but if she ever wanted to switch it up, you know, there's, like, a potential where it's, like, she snaps and, like, takes things too far. And then she's like, oh, no, I didn't mean to. But maybe she did. Maybe she did mean to, you know. So there's still a lot of potential for that.
For sure. And a quick sidebar before we go any further. When we started doing this podcast, when we started going to wrestling shows, Carla would be the one that would go with me to most of the shows. Now seeing that you're bringing Margaret along, and it's cool to hear Margaret explain to her friends who these wrestlers are.
Yeah, right? She knows the roster.
That was a part of the night that I enjoyed a lot, where it's like, oh, and this person does this. And like, she would give descriptions of wrestlers to kind of, for people to get a little taste before they came out through the curtain or whatnot. So that was just a quick sidebar I wanted to make there and you know, tell you that I definitely enjoy that. And it's pretty cool that Margaret is kind of embracing a little bit of this crazy side of wrestling.
Yeah, that's a great observation. She's never been anti-wrestling, but she's always been like, you know, when we first got back into it in 2016, 2017, she's like, God, you go to so much shows. But now we're at a really good cadence where it's like, and I think she, you're right. She likes the party of it. She likes wrestling. She grew up watching wrestling in the 90s, just like most people, but then kind of got out of it when, you know, it started getting less mainstream. But she just like, she likes the party of it. She likes the showmanship. She's really big in the theater. That's not wrestling. So this has elements of it. So yeah, that's a good observation. I think she's fully in now, you know, to go every once in a while.
Every once in a while. Before you know it, season ticket holders over here.
Yeah. number four takeaway is the little love triangle that's going on. This is not a thing yet. We're making it a thing. This is us pushing it and making it a thing. The little love triangle that's going on for the Freelance Legacy Championship. You have Darren Corbin, the title holder. You have Kota, who feels like that's like his next step, right? That's the thing I'm hot right now. That's the thing I can do. I can try to take this title off of Corbin. Corbin is being cowardly, hashtag cowardly Corbin, and dodging Kota every chance he gets. He creates a scramble. He doesn't put Kota in it. He says the winner of the scramble will have a title shot. Guess who wins the scramble, Chris?
You called it.
I called it. I was being a little smarky. I was around some newcomers. I was being a little smarky. I admit that. But Darius Luttrell, best friend of Kota, current and former tag team champ or tag team partner. They won belts together in Freelance Underground. And now Darius Luttrell has a title shot. He has a title shot that Kota wants. Kota is saying, no, I'm happy for him. But is he really happy for him deep down inside? Or could this lead to something, some infighting? Makes you wonder
what the real motives are once the titles change hands. Corbin has definitely been the sneaky one, right? We talked about that open challenge. It was answered by Effie. And that leads us on to reason number three of you know, takeaway, I guess, number three, which is a huge surprise. I popped Sunny Kiss making their comeback to Freelance Wrestling. In this match became a three-way, which, again, Corbin was able to get out, you know, and unscathed and kept his title, but the surprise of Sunny Kiss, that building was loud.
I want to say it was Papa the Night. I don't know if it was Papa the Night. I think it might have been Papa the Night. Like in terms of volume, the main event was pretty loud consistently and the entire crowd was into it. But I think in terms of just overall volume, it was like seeing an old friend, right? Seeing Sunny Kiss, seeing her walk through that curtain. But the the pizzazz that she has mixed with Effie being in the match. And Effie got off of a flight. He got off of a flight like less than a half hour before he was in the ring. This man was just fighting O'Hare TSA, got in an Uber, got to the venue. That probably went over a couple things. And then I noticed a lot of the match too was just Effie and Sonny kind of fighting. And Corbin was just kept getting thrown to the outside, basically. And that probably helped like the chemistry of the match and whatnot, considering Effie like barely made it. But I'm glad he did. I told him that too. I was like, hey, thanks for joining us. You know, he was laughing about it too, but it was some kind of spirit flight mess up or something he said. So,
I mean, it's Effie, right? You can't go wrong. Like, even if you don't plan your match out, even if you're just getting off the plane, the train, whatever, he's ready to go.
So. He's still an icon. He's still an icon. You bring in Sonny Kiss, someone that we've missed for a while and probably hasn't gotten the amount of like attention. I remember when she was signed to AEW and I felt like it was like, all right, like now she's going to get, and then it just kind of felt like AEW then just signed a bunch of people that have already been on TV and stuff like that. So she needs her flowers. And yeah, it was a fantastic triple threat. And I think there was a lot of people's favorites, honestly. A lot of people like the out of a group that I knew that came separate from Margaret's coworkers. They really like Sonny Kiss.
Absolutely, man. That was super fun. And I think that's to your point of being pop of the night, I think it was the element of surprise.
Nobody's true. Mm-hmm. True.
But element of surprise, not surprise. Bill from Naperville, Illinois, gets the biggest boo of the night. The Storm Grayson. Oh my goodness.
The number two takeaway is Storm a brat now? Like I feel like the Storm heel character now kind of has a tone to it. And it is like here's what I'll say. Like my friend Dan, who brought his friends, I remember talking to one of his friends at the bar. I can't think of her name off the top of my head right now. And she was like, we knew each other from ISU, from college, from Illinois State. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, we were trying to figure out how we knew each other. And I was like, where are you from? She's like, I'm from Naperville. And it's funny because then I put that together when the main event was going on. I was like, oh, they're going to boo the shit out of Naperville. And she's from Naperville. Uh-huh. And Naperville has this association, right? Like stuck up white rich kids. Mm-hmm. That's what people associate Naperville with. I think I know a lot of stuck up white rich kids from there. And I know like people that aren't from there. But it's funny because I just feel like that Storm kind of was like a little brat during this match, but his heel character had a tone to it. Like I understand what his heel character is now because he was like trying to leave the match. You know, he's like, oh, screw this. Like he's almost like thinks he's like too good for what was going on. And so I just want to point that out. Like Storm now is getting a huge reaction from the crowd. We've always loved Storm, but when he was just a baby face, he got the baby face reaction. I don't want to say he didn't get any reaction because he got the baby face reaction and like the underdog reaction. That was really good.
What we're seeing here is it's a character or like there's something more defined within him that,
yes,
whether a heel or a face, when you see a wrestler that you can identify and say like, this is who he is, you connect to that you know, that match, that character even more in a positive or negative way. But I think that you're right. Like it has, Storm has a flavor now.
Yes, you're right. He's got a flavor, and that flavor is like angsty teen from Naperville. That's what the flavor is. But I love it. Storm, I want to say Storm wrestled his ass off. It takes fucking two to tango. And when they were in there, they had the crowd in the fucking palm of their hands the entire match. Sometimes with freelance main events, you can tell when the crowd's not into it because the match is going on, but you hear the crowd is like, you know, when we used to talk about freelance main events would go so long that the crowd would just get fucking hammered and drunk because the shows would go really long.
The show would go long, yeah.
The show would go long. This show didn't go extremely long compared to some in the past, but you can tell during those other shows that go long, the crowd isn't kind of into it because it's like random chatter. You hear people just having conversations. Mm-hmm. This one, you didn't. hear people having those conversations. You heard people just chanting the entire to the match the mm-hmm. entire time. So they had the crowd in the palm of their hands, and I think that leads into takeaway number one, Chris.
Yeah, I mean the reason why, like, we all trust Freelance from the beginning, right? And that was Mr. Ali making his comeback. I mean, you could say that just the announcement alone of him coming back to Freelance sold out the show.
Yeah.
There's an argument to that, right? Although somehow Freelance was able to get 50 tickets towards the end and opened up their doors. Yeah. But man, like, you know, like for me, like, I don't know if it was for you, and I believe so the same. My first Freelance show was Ali's last match.
Same. We were there together.
We were there. A coincidence too, because I don't think we planned that. We just happened to see each other there. That's what introduced me to Freelance. Obviously, I definitely enjoyed that show and introduced me to Isaias, who I've said before, Isaias Velasquez, you know, as much of a shithead that he is today, he's the one that made me come back to the next show, right? Like, and then you had GPA in that match. It was a triple threat at that point. But seeing Ali, seeing the crowd, how they embraced him, we welcomed him back home, and seeing him hold the title, even if it was for a split second.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I was all in. And I think you talked about the locker room coming in and banging on that mat, you know, gave us that feel of the Freelance back then where the fans were around the ring. There were no barricades and people Absolutely. Were banging in the ring. So nostalgia, Ali coming back, him holding the title, all those things made to a great closing at the end of this night.
Yeah, I said it when I saw next episode. I said it felt like 2016, and that's takeaway number one. It felt like 2016. The banging on the mats, Ali having a killer match, you and me being there, and then after we took a Hank called us over, we took a picture with the squad, which is he's got it up.
There it is.
He's got it up. If you're watching YouTube, you get the extra photo. Hank, Kike, Dan, Tree, Pack, and then us. And if you're unfamiliar, like before the pandemic, there was a group of people. I think like Chris and I kind of got us initiated later, but I think like mm-hmm. the original crew, right, was like Hank, Kike, Dan, Pack, and some other people would always sit in this one section, and that was like the Freelance. We call ourselves Freelance Squad. Then Chris and I kind of came along with the podcast and started sitting with them as well. And that was the most people there out of that like group that always used to sit together in a long time. And I was just really, really happy we know those guys. They're all good dudes. So
absolutely, man. Like it was a fun wrestling show, but the element of that, you know, I guess you would say friendships that developed, yeah. that, you know, developed over time, and seeing the squad, we just talked about squad, like seeing the squad back together. There's a couple of people missing, but it just like, you know, like, yeah, we left this, you know, pre-pandemic and slowly people come back to wrestling and, you know, life went about, you know, took its own path. But the fact that you're able to come to Freelance and feel like you're back in, you know, 2016, I think that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. It really did. And it was special. Like, it made the night special. People were tweeting out. Hank was tweeting it out after, like, it was just a special night. A little bit mixed of nostalgia. It was great to see Ali back. He told an awesome story at the end, too. I didn't know that he sent in the tape of him and Isaias to WWE, and that's what got him to the Cruiserweight Classic. So that was a cute wrinkle that I didn't know. And I think that kind of shows, too, like I said, it takes two to tango. That kind of shows you, too, that Isaias probably could have been has the talent to have made it to a huge stage as well. So I think that's a compliment to Isaias that he was in that match that was sent to WWE yeah. that got Ali booked, is what I'm trying to say. So that's really cool.
For sure. And I mean, I don't want to rush us home here, Charlie, but we did promise a 15-minute time yeah. limit on this.
A little extra five, you know, for the good times, but
it is Freelance after all, right?
It is freelance. But those are the five takeaways from In Freelance We Trust. Let us know if you like the format of this episode. Let us know if you hated it. Any feedback is encouraged. If you're listening to this and you have my numbers, honestly, just text me or just DM us. But yeah, we're just trying a little something new and try not to talk your ear off. And I hope you enjoyed it. And it was just a wonderful night. So I'm really, really glad we went. The first of at least four this year in the LSA, you and me. So let's get the next one on the books. What do you say?
Not to throw in, you know, an additional 5 minutes here, but honorable mention to the scramble. Like seeing that opening scramble match, because I was about to say, make sure you hashtag Viva La Chico. The crowd embracing Chico, Toro, like all Alfonso. These guys, Alfonso, you know, hashtag all these guys. I think that was, again, it's a freelance staple to kick off with a scramble, and seeing that once again, with somewhat new faces as well. Like, I think that was pretty damn cool. So I'll leave it at that. I won't extend this any longer. As far as Two Heels and a Face goes, you can follow us on all social media handles, under Two Heels and a Face. That's number Two Heels and a Face. Check out our website. Charlie's about to pump out some, cool articles there.
Hopefully
Two Heels and a Face.
It's been dragging a little, but hopefully next week.
Content's coming out, whether that's YouTube or this podcast audio form, and keep an eye on the website. You know, you never know what you're going to see.
Absolutely.
All right. Till next time.
Till next time. Bye.